Jay Thompson, and welcome to
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. We are on a different time schedule today because of the fact that we had some difficulty yesterday on our regular day, Wednesdays, and we're going to be going back to Wednesdays, starting next week. Blog Talk Radio was having some difficulty. And they said, okay, let's do it tomorrow. Are you available? And I checked with the people we have scheduled, and we do. And so here we are. But Kay Thompson Live will be on next Wednesday, 8 o'clock, as usual. And right now, you know, we're waiting to hear from Eric Payne and co-host, producer, my son, and Wayne Gilman. And I see that I think Eric is up right now. Eric Payne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, we're waiting for Mal. How are you doing, Eric?
All right, I'm all right. How are you doing today, Bob?
Oh, good, good. We're looking at this thing with Ben Carson. You know, there's so much in politics today, you don't even know where to start. But wait a minute, I think I better tell people that, let's see, we had scheduled for, you know, the show yesterday, which we're doing today, but I was telling people that we're going to be going back to Wednesday, of course, next week. We did have some technical difficulties yesterday, so, you know, Blog Talk Radio were nice enough to say come the next day. But anyway, there's a whole lot going on. Ben Carson, for instance, has come out against Trump. Is that so?
I don't know whether that's accurate. I don't know if he's come out against Donald Trump. It was my understanding.
I mean for. Ben Carson has come out and he's endorsing, you know, Donald Trump. Excuse me. Amazing, absolutely amazing. This race is so crazy.
Right.
And looking at the whole political thing and looking at, you know, the demonstrations and the debates going on, it's entertainment. You can't really believe that there's politicians with, you know, a serious job, you know, especially with Donald Trump. It's absolutely unreal. But anyway, I hope everything will be getting back to normal, and I really hope that we don't have someone as undignified and as a Donald Trump, because it's embarrassing. He's a comedy. It's a comedy show. And the things that he says, really, what it does is it encourages violence. And I say that because if people are watching the television, different stations today, a young black male was going up the stairs, and this white male in the audience, punched him so hard. Sucker punched him, that's right. And sucker punched him, and of course the guy was finally arrested. They finally, arrested someone who was, being violent, thanks to Donald Trump. The violence comes from and stops right at the feet of this guy who wants to be president of the most important, you know, country in the entire world. What an embarrassment. How undignified. How crazy.
Right.
You know, really, really awful, you know, but we're going to be getting more into that. So how are you? Tell me what's going on before I go into telling who's coming on.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that Saw was the, I don't know, you can hear me, right?
Yep.
Okay. So what we saw was that obviously this guy with the last name McGraw assaulted this guy. It was actually an elbow. A lot of people are saying a punch. It's actually an elbow that he threw to this guy's, to this young brother's face. And it clearly wasn't that hard. It was a hard punch, but, you know, I mean, a hard blow, but it really didn't do much to the young brother as I'm sitting here watching the news and things like that. And also you see protesters spitting on protesters and things like that within the Trump rallies. And he really encourages people to do things to protesters and to do things to be violent with them pretty much. I mean, he said it himself, he wanted to punch somebody in the face. What in the old days people would be leaving out on stretchers and stuff like that. So Donald Trump is a despicable, savage individual who just happens to have a lot of money. And what happened with this latest incident of violence against someone is that not only did was the young black man assaulted, but the reaction of the security guards, not security guards, there was appeared to be sheriffs down there, they jumped on the young black guy and threw him to the ground and looked as if that they wanted to put him in handcuffs, so they had his hand on his back, but I guess they realized that cameras were everywhere, so they couldn't do that. And in my estimation, they're not representatives of law enforcement. They have no authority because they are criminals themselves, because they're not dispensing justice. They're not there to equally serve the public. They're there to serve the Donald Trump supporters. Now, I don't want, before people think that I am totally on the side of the protesters, I for one was never one to go to someone's rally, someone's event, and protest. Because if I don't support someone, I'm not going to go and go to their event. And I'm probably am not going to go actually inside of their event just to protest against them. The only way that I would be caught doing that, if it was a public event on the streets of America and I happened to be in the area and the person that I probably wasn't supporting, like a Trump or someone like that, then I might be a protester. But I never really thought that was a beneficial, a conductive way of voicing your opposition to someone, because you're in their house pretty much. It's one of their events, and then to rally their forces and people who think like they do. So to me, it seems a little kind of a waste of time, because you're protesting to people that are really supporters of this type of clannish Nazi behavior that they exhibit, in my opinion, that they exhibit at these Trump rallies.
That's exactly what it looks like,
Klan and Nazism. Right, and that's freedom of speech. I mean, you can go there and protest if you want, but for me, you know, it's their protest, let them have it, let them say all their crazy stuff if you want, but some people, I mean, that's their right too, I suppose, to go in there and protest. It's just you're going to be outnumbered, and certainly with an individual like Donald Trump, I'm not surprised that these people who support him become violent, because that's pretty much who they are. And so we have someone like this savage, Donald Trump, that responds that way and that he encourages that. And even John McCain, when he was running against Barack Obama, if you remember, when the woman who one of his people came to one of his events, stood up and called Barack Obama an Arab and all this ignorant stuff, he corrected her. John McCain corrected her and educated the woman, as to saying, he's an American just like me. We just have a difference of opinion about the country. And that's why people consider John McCain a real American hero. You might not agree with what he says. I don't agree with much of what he does, what he says. But that's someone who is a real American hero, and he deserves that title. And, of course, Donald Trump disrespected John McCain, saying because he was a prisoner of war, he was a loser. And here this is a gentleman who doesn't fight for anything other than his, and he had the nerve to talk about a man who fought for this country. So it's kind of the chickens coming home to roost. Because on the backside of that, this is how the Republicans have been making this type of behavior okay from day one since Barack Obama got elected. And they made it okay for John McCain, Donald Trump and all these other people to challenge the president's birthright as an American, called him un-American, and the Republicans said nothing and did nothing and remained quiet for the most part while people insulted the president of the United States in such a terrible manner. And as I'm watching this, police officers here, they're replaying the event where this gentleman elbowed the guy in the face. He elbowed the guy in the face. Cops watched it. They didn't even touch. They grabbed the brother before he could react. But they didn't even touch this man, let him sit back down in his seat and continue at the rally. These people who call themselves officers of the law, not officers of the law down there, because I just watched a police officer watch the man hit the brother and did nothing but grab the black man. So it appears that there were a couple of black cops there too I don't know whether I don't know what they were doing. But certainly it appears that there's a continues in the United States in 2016 to be a double standard in America. And the police officers are here to control black people and allow white people, these racist white people, to do whatever they want. And we need to wake up. You have an individual, like I said, like you were just saying, Ma, you were breaking the news, and the breaking news that Dr. Uncle Tom Ben Carson is coming out in support of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is advocating acts of violence against blacks, Mexicans, gay people, anybody who doesn't not agree with him. He advocates acts of violence against people. So it's horrendous. But it's not surprising that someone like Ben Carson is throwing his support behind Donald Trump.
This thing continues. It's only going to get worse, and it's going to get quite dangerous, and you're going to have different groups in the states and different people, you know, really, you know, doing or committing acts of violence. And I really think that it's really becoming a racial thing. If you hear some of the information that, you know, that Trump is dishing out on, you know, and really encouraging people, you know, to do this kind of thing and to be involved on a violent level. In other words, get this person out of here. Yeah. So we're waiting here from
America was built on violence. America was founded on violence. America was founded on the murder of the Native Americans. We're here,
yep.
The attempt to extinguish an entire race of people that were here already, the indigenous people of this land. And the United States was founded on the killing off of these people. And when people came over here to conquer this land and steal this land, they systematically murdered off the Native American, men, women, children. This is what they did. And we should never, never, ever forget that this is the history of this country. It's violence.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we glorify the gun, so they continue to perpetuate violence. And it seems to be an imperial violence by some, a lot, in a particular ethnic group, to do that all over the world. If you go everywhere in the world, the indigenous people that might be fighting amongst themselves were one time encouraged to fight amongst themselves by someone other than them. The same individuals that look like the same individuals that came and murdered off the Native Americans. They are the same individuals that went to certain parts all over the world and caused those indigenous people to battle and fight amongst themselves. That's why you have colonies. The British colony would go to these various islands and conquer these islands. They want to be all over the world and stand as a ruler over other people. So it's something that is not surprising, not surprising in the least. There is a deep-seated hatred that they have. I don't know whether it's because they see the image of God in other people and they hate it so much that they must, that they can't stand it. But it is really something that is remarkable. And what's surprising to me that at my age that I'm seeing something that I saw when I was a child, when you and Dad and other people were fighting for the rights, civil rights of black people, and other people of color, as well as many white people who were who wanted to see who believe in a land where everybody is treated equally. They fought for these things. And now, some 50 years later, I'm seeing some of the same reactions that I remember seeing in those black and white movies during the civil rights movement. So we have to be vigilant, and we have to be really prepared to protect ourselves as well.
We need to exercise
our Second Amendment rights to buy and have guns for our own protection, because those people who pretend to be the authorities are not the authorities. They do not represent justice. They represent a certain school of thought. And
you're
it is similar to Nazi Germany, I would say.
Yeah, it's amazing that someone like in this day and age. Someone like a Donald Trump comes along and, you know, really he stirs up these old feelings, and it just goes to show you that these old feelings that some of these people have, and I'm talking about the white races primarily, okay? And it's really dangerous because of the fact that people aren't like they used to be. and the people are not going to be taking that. And I hope, I really, really hope that people realize that it's dangerous territory. But with Trump leading this, it's just, you know, so hard to talk about even. You know, to think that someone who is so supposed to have, you know, respect for, you know, the United States of America, the most powerful country in the world, and he wants to lead us into what, perpetual war? You know? Well, let me see. We have another caller. This should be Wayne. Is this Wayne Gilman?
Hi. Good evening, Kay. Good evening, Eric. How's everybody?
Good evening, Wayne.
How you doing?
All right. How are you?
I guess all right. I didn't get a chance to hear everything, but I know that you're discussing Trump.
Yep.
And I'm just amazed at the amount of traction this man has, but I still maintain that the amount of opposition that he is facing, it will not allow him to be the next president. And again, I'm hoping, I don't know, I could be wrong, but it's just scary to think that white America will allow this blatant racist, protectionist, opportunist, and he runs around talking about Ted Cruz being a liar, but if you look at his background, it just amazes me. And somebody just pointed out to me the other day, I didn't realize this, but in 1991, this man had the nerve to say that black people are shiftless and lazy, was one of his quotes. And something else he said, he would rather have Jews counting his money than blacks. I mean, I don't study every little nuance of this man's past, but now that he's running for president, I guess everything is fair game. But I couldn't believe when I heard this, you know?
Yeah.
That was the gist of the quote. It's not a direct quote.
Yeah.
Boy,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ma.
No, I said that's really amazing because I, you know, with some of the things that he's saying, and it leads me back to these pictures of Nazi Germany, you know, with these people in uprising. And I think pretty soon, you know, with some of the things that he's saying, you know, you're going to get really, really a lot of people in the Jewish community really coming out so completely against Trump. I hope so, because that's exactly the way the kind of things that he is saying is just it's deplorable. So, but the only thing you can do is be prepared for anything that's going to be coming at us. That's all. Just be prepared. But we shouldn't even be having to go to this level of thinking because it really is annoying. But before we go on with this, I want to just catch people that we do come on every Wednesday, 8 o'clock, 8 to 9. But because of Blog Talk Radio, they had some difficulty. They said, well, we'll come on the next day. This is Thursday. This is where we are. But we will be going right back to Wednesday, 8 to 9. Every Wednesday, 4K Thompson Live with Eric Payne and Wayne Gilman. Lisa Payne is here. And also, we are also going to be talking today, you know, with Gina Payne Scott, because she was in the papers in Bermuda. She just opened up her dancer size class. And I really wanted to talk about dance because of the fact that we did have the Thompson Dance Studio years ago. We are going to be talking to her later on. And then also, Jai Henson, better known as Jackie Koontz. She has a dance studio down there in Clearwater, Florida. So we hope to be hearing from Jackie also. So we have a lot to talk about.
I think we're going to be talking to her next week. Is that not correct?
Yeah, Jai is not. She's not going to be coming on today.
Okay.
I should have said that. She's going to be coming on next week because she couldn't do Thursday, you know.
Right, exactly. So we'll be talking to Jai next week and continuing your discussion about dance as an art form and as an exercise. And your discussion tonight with Gina will be as pretty much as exercise because she's been using that to get back into shape, as she said, and she's had some great progress. As we all know, I know that because my sister and they've always been in tremendous shape and have grown up as at your dance studio. So
anybody that has taken any dance class or is familiar with dance knows that it is a tremendous way to maintain good health. But getting back to the current events, let's get back to the current events because it's so hot. And we want to talk about the politics, really. There is a Republican debate tonight. I am a Paul. Something you said, Wayne, I wanted to bounce off of because, and Mom, you're talking about we really have to start being careful now. But, you know, really, this is really nothing new. I mean, we've been experiencing this since I've been alive. There's been this attitude and this aggression and violence towards us as African-American people. Certainly, I'm sure Hispanic Americans have experienced that. Jewish Americans have experienced that, I'm sure. Anybody who is other than white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, even other white people who believe in equal rights for all people have experienced violence for their willingness to stand up for what is right. And so this is not something that's new. This is something that's been going on since I've been alive, since you both have been alive for centuries in this country. And an individual like Donald Trump who would use the worst parts of people and would use the worst emotions of people. And there are people that are going to be racist, and they're racist at heart, prejudiced at heart, and that's who they are. And what they believe is in America, that is a pre-civil rights America. And that's when he says, let's make America great again, that's where he wants to take it back to. And that's what many of them want. They want to go back to the days where they were first-class citizens, and with impunity, they can murder us, they can beat us, they can treat us any way that they want. And these recent years when us black folk have rights and we got uppity and we got our black president, they don't like that. And we've seen how crazy they have gotten, and all that stuff has come back to the forefront. And once we had a black man that was elected president, they've even fixed their mouth because we know how they change history and make up a history for themselves. Now they're trying to somehow make it Barack Obama's fault for creating the environment in which a Donald Trump can rise up as a Republican, which is really remarkable. But we know that this is what they do. They make up things. They make up their history. And so it's just remarkable to what extent, what length, when you see somebody who's willing to lie right in front of you, and everybody knows it's a lie, including the person making that up, but they lie with such impunity and such ease as if it is something that is natural to them. Clearly it is, because they've been living lies all this time. And every single tool that they use, if you remember what Chris Wellesley said, the ways they attack us, entertainment, sports, political, social, how they use these tools to perpetuate their lies. Every time you see a movie, Cowboys and Indians, it's always the bloodthirsty Indians just want to kill the white settlers just for living. They never mention the fact that they're living on their land and they've annihilated them off their land. They don't mention that. And so when they make up this clown, John Wayne, who's this big cowboy American who has to fight the Indians, this is a lie that they tell and they perpetuate over and over again. And they even become to believe their own lie. And I mean, I always say, if they did it to Jesus, everything else is up for grabs.
But you know what I'm saying?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kay.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I have to agree with Eric. I mean, it's unfortunate. But the only thing that I would like to add to it is that, you know, looking back, I remember my first campaign covering the presidential elections went back to the early part of the 1970s. I wasn't there for like Nixon Ford, but I was not in the business at the time when that transition took place. But I remember distinctly, you know, the contest for Jimmy Carter becoming president in 76, 77, and when I compare, you know, debates and the political rhetoric that comes out of both camps, you know, back then moving forward, there I've never seen anything, you know, decline to the level of being so childish. So, you know, when you listen to Trump speak, it's an embarrassment. just to hear the man use the English language, or I should say the American English language, and the fact of the matter is that he's so limited when it comes to discussing issues, a platform, things of that nature. I've never seen such back and forth and political assassination against each other's characters in the course of the campaign. I mean, these were things that came out subtly. And Kay, I know that you lived through most of that yourself with me. I mean, it's I've never seen this level of decadence. And what's so sad about it is that you have international figures, diplomats from other countries, excuse me, already expressing their concern about the possibility of this man becoming president and what it would mean, you know, in terms of the world order is concerned. So it's just sad. I mean, the one thing I have to say that he's boosted the Latino voter registration levels, and I think that if only black folks could take a page out of what's going on in that community, because they're not doing this to elect Trump. They're making sure that every Latino person who's in a position to exercise their franchise on election day is voting against Trump, and we need to do the same thing. I'm not feeling this kind of energy like how I felt when Barack Obama was running the first time.
You know, Wayne, I'm just wondering, you know, as we're talking, I'm wondering about the United Nations. You know, we haven't heard anything about the United Nations. Is there even, are they still in existence? I'm assuming that they are. But we're not hearing anything about any discussions going on or any concerns. Have you?
Yeah, as I said, diplomats for various countries in Europe and Africa and Asia, they have not come forward to say anything publicly, but they've been quietly meeting with the Obama administration about the possibility of what will happen, and that they express their righteous indignation of what's going on, and they're basically parroting the words of what their respective leaders are saying in their country. Can you imagine having to deal with a Donald Trump? You know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's out in the press, but they haven't, they've just made observations, and they, you know, but not to say that there's been a UN, I guess at some point there'll probably be if he winds up being the nominee and the country goes in the direction of electing him president, because, you know, the one thing I know that there's been a lot of recent interest in wanting to become a Canadian citizen. I mean, to the point where their immigration offices have been bombarded with inquiries and wanting to know, you know, how to go about the process of giving up, you know, your U.S. citizenship to become a Canadian.
Really?
That's how frightening this has been.
I'll tell you another thing that's frightening, too. Ben Carson for Trump. He's come out for Donald Trump.
When did that happen?
This evening. Ben Carson for Trump. Go figure.
I'm sorry, I was at a funeral, so I missed that one.
Oh, yeah.
That happened tonight. Wow.
That's breaking tonight. But the thing is, we should try to remember, and when I hear people talk about, you know, he's up in polls and Donald Trump is winning this, you know, what the press has you to believe, what people have a tendency to believe is that Donald Trump is really doing well and he's overwhelmingly well. Yeah, he's doing overwhelmingly well on the Republican side. So everybody should remember, he's running on the Republican side, yeah, he's doing well. But that doesn't indicate the whole country. He still has to run in the general against Hillary. So, yeah, he's doing great on the Republican side, and that's all the people pretty much that you know, he's talking to the base. I mean, he's preaching to the choir, is what I'm trying to say. Even though other establishment Republicans, you know, they really don't like it, and the cat is out the bag because he's driving their party to the ground. But look, we should maintain and remember that this is on the Republican side, and certainly Democrats don't agree with him. And I can imagine those Americans that are kind of on the fence, that'll really be the ones that the candidates will be appealing to in the general. Beginning, we'll see that this man is bonkers. So, to me, he really would be a great candidate, and I hope he is their nominee, because he'll show just how crazy that they are, just how brutally racist and truly racist that they are. So, I think that I hope he is their nominee, because the statistics show, and polls, I don't put a lot too much stock in polls, but they show that both Hillary and Bernie, in a general election matchup, would beat Donald Trump by some 15 or 20 points. So if he is the nominee, that would really be great, actually, to be quite honest. Secondly, they talk about Marco Rubio. You know, the concept is that Marco Rubio, when he tried to go to Donald Trump's level, that kind of hurts his campaign. At least that's what I see a lot of members of the press trying to put out there. But if it had worked, they would have a different perspective. If Marco Rubio's tactic of going toe-to-toe with Donald Trump and going into the gutter with him, if it had worked for Marco, if he had won a couple of primaries, then people would say it was a brilliant strategy. Marco Rubio stood up to him. But it didn't work because Marco Rubio is not a strong candidate, not because what he was doing was just as bad as Trump, because he wasn't a strong candidate, in my opinion. And so that's why now they're saying, well, you took that tactic, it didn't work. And if it worked, they'd say it was brilliant. So I don't think it was the fact that he tried to out-Trump Trump. I think it was the fact that he's not a good candidate. And also the fact that he is Hispanic. And the people that Trump is appealing to, they want a white man to represent them, in my opinion. Go ahead, Mom.
Yeah, I'm expecting to hear from Gina Payne Scott, about her new studio. You know, she opened up her dancer's eyes, and we were going to be talking to her, so I'm quite sure that she's going to be calling in from Bermuda very shortly. She was in the newspaper, and it looks like it's gaining some traction, and people are very interested in it, and that's going to be as an outgrowth of the Thompson Dance Studio. And so next week we're going to be doing the dancer's eyes, and you know, all the, you know, the things that go with a different kind of exercise and whatnot, because it's about time. You know, I'm tired of talking about Trump. You know, in fact, it makes me sick to talk about Donald Trump.
Just a minute.
History repeating itself over and over with all this violence. And, you know, it's hurtful. You know, to think that our children and our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, have to grow up in this kind of environment and experience this kind of hate that went along, you know, in early America. And also, we have to remember that, you know, in teaching, you know, when we're over at the BLIB and BLS and, you know, that kind of, you know, those kind of things. And so I was talking to Dr. Yosef Ben-Yekinen. He was talking about where man originated from. And he was also talking about, you know, the people who were originators of finding, the first people to find bones and fossils in the Old Divide Gorge in West Africa. Talking to John Henry Clark, okay, and so many people. And it's just ridiculous that people don't really realize from where they come, because the first man on the planet was apparently black, I will say black man, but the first person that was discovered, according to the, you know, the anthropologists, Richard Leakey and Louis Leakey, white anthropologists, who discovered this, the bones of a living person, not a lived person who had lived naturally, okay, but in the Old Divide Gorge in West Africa. And if the bones of a living person, you know, were found, first of all, in Africa, doesn't that lead you to believe that the first, and it was a woman, so the first people in the world was African?
Yeah.
Any comments? And by the way,
I agree with you, okay. I mean, these are historical facts, you know. We have a lot in our history to be proud of.
Yeah.
You know, but I also feel that we're at a stage in our lives, particularly given the political environment and the fact that the whole media dynamic that we once had here in New York, in the New York metropolitan area, I mean, even though the station still exists, but the change of ownership has done a lot in terms of, well, minimizing the importance of some of the things that we used to do, if I may say so. You know, that's just
absolutely
my opinion. I'm not knocking what's on the air now, but the bottom line is there was a time that we had a forum that people on a regular basis, no matter what time of day, you knew WLIB was there as your beacon to go for information coming out of our community. And
right,
certainly social media has done a lot to improve, you know, the immediacy of news coming out in anyone's community. But at least it was a place for us on a regular basis for our people to come to talk about the issue. And I just really feel that at this stage of the game, we need to come back. There's got to be, I hate to go back into time because I'd like to feel that we can adapt. But, you know, there's got to be some mechanism that would motivate our community to come out and realize what's at stake if we do not vote a certain way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proud Democrat. I'll go as far as telling you that I've been a closet Hillary Clinton fan for many years. I mean, I've seen what the Republican Party, the conservative element in the Republican Party has done to her. I'm not saying that I'm in lockstep with everything that the Clintons as a political couple have done, but I feel that we have no choice but to seriously look at what's at stake if we lose to the Republican Party come the fall. And
right,
it's just one of those things. And I'm prepared to go out there if it means having to knock on doors and getting people on election day to come out and vote. We have to go back to that. The churches have got to, you know, energize. I mean, members of the Black Congressional Caucus have got to come up with new ways in which to energize the Black vote to have people coming out in numbers, because there are too many people out there who are looking at what's going on and they just look at it as a spectacle, which it is, particularly as it pertains to the Republican contest. But I just don't feel that energy coming out of our community when it comes to, you know, offering its support. We're still divided. Maybe it's too early yet. Maybe 2 or 3 months from now, when the race tightens up, maybe there'll be that energy that I'm looking for. But I remember back in 2007, 2008, you know, once it was clearly decided that Obama was going to be the nominee, or it was extremely close, you know, there was an energy, like a kinetic energy within, you know, the communities across the country to see this man elected. It was almost like a Muhammad Ali prize fight. You know, I don't get that drift now, you know. So,
right.
I mean, at the same time, I'm not minimizing what you're saying. I mean, I know that we are great people, but I really feel that, you know, we have to focus on our greatness and see what's in it for us, like every other community out there, once this transition takes place.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know,
we have.
I was going to say, do we have Gina on the phone?
Yes, Gina's
on
the phone.
Okay.
Hello.
What's up? I know Gina wants to get in. Gina wants to get in on some politics too before you guys get off in the dance, and particularly being in an outside of the country, I know she has a unique perspective to give. Gina, you know, I don't know if you've been, how much of the conversation you've been hearing, but I know you've been keeping certainly abreast of what's been going on. What's your assessment, and what's as someone who's living outside the country, America is living outside the country, what's the assessment over there about the, you know, the election, Trump, et cetera?
Well, the assessment is exactly as sane people would think there, that it's a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs going on. It's, yeah, you know, you don't need to be outside, you know, so no, you guys are not crazy for thinking that you're not crazy, you know. It's bizarre. It's bizarre what's going on. I watched the Republican debate a couple of times, and the one last week. It's amusing, but for the fact that it's so serious, you know, that Donald Trump could actually be the nominee. If that weren't a serious prospect, if he weren't a serious prospect, it would really be just so amusing to listen to the Republican debate. You know, to hear them going at each other, and Donald Trump just, you know, shouting over, "Oh, Ted, be quiet," you know, and then before Jeb dropped out, and he's, "Oh, Jeb, your mother should run, you know, your mother should be the one to run, you know, go call your mommy. I mean, it's bizarre that we're listening to real grown, supposedly intelligent men carry on the way that they're carrying on. It's a bizarre situation, and people out here can see it. It's everybody's miffed. And, it shows the ugly, that there's a very serious pocket of ugly, racist, very live, real live people out there. And apparently something happened at one of the Trump rallies yesterday where somebody got beat up or something, a big fight happened. I didn't catch, the most recent, one of his most recent rallies, I guess, yesterday, last night.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that one, but it's like a dictatorship for him to be in these rallies. And, put them out, just because there's a protester, we're allowed to protest, people heckle, that just goes with the game. And, just put them out, it's scary. It's scary. It really is. I don't know what to say. It's just scary. And the one thing, Ben Carson, the thing that amused me last debate, he was listening, he was a stickler for the rules, so he was only able to jump in at one point when he was attacked. Nobody had said anything about him for the longest time. He finally said, "Can somebody please attack me so that he can be able to rebut?" And I thought it was so funny because, no, he was completely ignored. "Can somebody please attack me just so I can get in the conversation?" It was so funny. You know, it's a bizarre, it's a bizarre situation. And Wayne, I heard you say you're a closet Hillary fan. Well, I'm a Hillary supporter, not fan, but supporter. I'm a Hillary supporter, for a number of reasons. And, everyone says we don't want someone who's in an insider in Washington and part of the establishment. Well, I'd rather, at this point, somebody who knows exactly how to do politics and how to do government.
Amen. Amen.
And keep us safe and sane, whether you agree with everything that she stands for in all her policies and decisions or not. But you can't have a lunatic like Donald Trump, with his finger over the button.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And also, Ben Carson, who felt because he was a doctor that he had the intelligence to run for president, which was a totally different thing. And when it came time to public policy or foreign policy, he knew nothing, and he really seemed quite clueless. When you go for jobs, they ask you for your resume. They want to know your experience in this particular field that you're going for. But somehow we've had people to spin the notion that someone who has worked in government is someone that's so inside that we don't want them because, that's the one job we don't want someone to have previous experience for. It's so crazy that some of these people have been able to spin some of these bizarre theories and have these people who are really not very educated, because if you look at the majority of Trump supporters, they're not college graduates. They're white guys of a certain age. And very angry because, obviously a black man got elected president. So there's an ignorance factor that they revel in. It's almost like
they don't want to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they don't want to get any smarter. They don't want to improve themselves other than, let me get my 9-to-5 job and go to work and I'm still a white man in America. So, but you guys want to move into the dance segment there. We're running, I know time is running short, so.
Yes. Gina's going to be talking about exercise. Okay, your new video, and Yeah, you can be talking truth to people, telling them that you can really get in shape in any age. Any age,
yeah.
Get in shape. Right. Now tell us about Dancer's Eyes there in Bermuda, Virginia, and how you got it started and how people are reacting to it. And I love it, I'm coming. And but tell us all about it.
Well, Dancer's Eyes.
When people come to Bermuda to have a vacation, that they now can take, classes in Dancer's Eyes. In other words, you can dance and saddle.
You can. There's so many creative things you can do with dance. You know, people nowadays, even at their weddings, where they want to have their wedding party to have a little dance and put on a little show and have some entertainment when they, especially for destination weddings, you want something for people to do while they're here on, for the whole week prior to that. It's a fun thing to get your, bridesmaids to do, come take a Dancer's Eyes class, take an exercise class, and all that. So that's for the people who are coming here. But for the people who are here already, because when people come, call me. But in the meantime, I started Dancer's Eyes sort of knee-jerk reaction to me just saying I'm going to do it for a long time. I take a lot of classes. I take a ballet bar, which is not called ballet bar. They call it bar class, and B-A-R-R-E, and it's at they use a ballet bar, but it's not ballet by any means, but it's different exercises with the use of a ballet bar. I take Pilates mat, Pilates reformer, and yoga, of course. And I take a lot, adult ballet also. But I wanted to, teach because it's in my blood. my mom was a teacher, was a very good, the ballet school, Thompson Dance Studio, obviously is where I got my start at your school. And everything for me always goes back to ballet. Honestly, that's just
I said, yeah, that's quite true.
Yeah. Yes, everything for me. I may have always loved ballet. Ballet's always been my first love.
Yeah. But, like when we first started, because Trish and I, we were studying in New York and with a few people, a lot of people, But the point is, I really, even though ballet was so beautiful to watch, when I started learning about African dance, mm-hmm. Then, you just go crazy, because the fact that that also gets in the blood. Remember when we had the drummers come in? There is nothing on African dance class. The drums, alone, it gets into your, it gets under your skin, it gets in your whole body. I remember when the fair happened in New York, I was talking to a friend of mine, Pam, today in the exercise class. And she remembers the fair in New York. And, how I happened to be, find out about African dance was I saw about 30 drummers coming toward a big tent. And there were African drummers, and I went absolutely insane because I never heard these drums coming down the field with this thrump, this beating of drums, and it just went all through you. And guess who was ahead of it? Babatunde Olatunji. That was
Babatunde,
my first Babatunde Olatunji. And he had come to Pat, a few years ago. And I think I wrote this in a note, I stood near the aisle. Because I knew that I was going to, say hi, bump in or something. Anyway, I wrote that in a note to you. But anyway, it was really thrilling to see him alive. I mean, he was still alive. He was a lot older. But I've met him years ago. As a matter of fact, he was also lecturing, in the village, on Africa and African dance with this big, tall drum that was almost taller than I was. But anyway,
about the studio with the drum, the excitement of being at the studio where the drummers, and you had live drummers that we took the classes, modern dance, modern jazz, and African, and just a and a dancing through, it was just so exciting. And like I said, for me, it's just it's in my blood. Like you said, you hear the music and it's just you want to move. So I started the dancer size because at 51 years old, and of course the article that came out in the paper here in Bermuda, of course the headline was from surgery to splits, 51 year old something. So they have my age, and then in the headline, I was like, "Gee, thanks." But anyway, the article was pretty good, and just spoke about the fact that you can, at you know whatever age, transform your body, which is what I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I did have an operation a couple of years ago, and I was what really started it was I was laying here recuperating, and I was like, "Okay, I'm 50." You know, 50 years old, or I was younger than that, just before I was 50 years old, and I was figuring I'll be around for a lot of years, and I don't want to be all bent over and, you know, limping and hurting and laboring on one side and the other, and, you know, I have a lot of years left, and I used to be pretty well known for my legs and, you know, my posture and the way I walk and stuff, so I was like, this is not going to happen, and I said, well, Monday I'm going to start walking, and then my Poindexter, very smart, genius son says, Mommy, 98% of people who say that they're going to start something on Monday, Monday never comes, and they never actually do it. So I said, that's right. So the next day I got up and I started walking, and I just started 30 minutes out, 30 minutes back, and so by the third day, the same distance I got, it took me 30 minutes to get to, it took me 7 minutes on the third day. So it was that fast of just, and I wasn't racing or anything, but you just get up and you get your body moving. And from then to now, you know, like I said, taking a lot of classes and everything, I have virtually no back pain, which is what I suffered from for a really long time. And, you know, and I just loved it. You know, fitness, you have to be fit. You got to move your body. So, you know, whether you're in the gym doing CrossFit or, you know, or lifting weights or Tabata and all these different things or not, find something that you like to do. And I like dance. So that's where I am and that's what I'm doing.
You know, Gina, I hate to interrupt. I just wanted to ask a question because I'm a little later in the chapter in the book. I'm not at the epilogue yet, please. I hope God saves my life. But the thing that I find is that a lot of young women I knew as dancers, as they've gotten older, they just can't handle the stress and the pain of doing dance again. I don't know if you've encountered that. I know of a couple of people, a very close friend of mine, she can't dance anymore, and or at least do the things, the performances that she used to. And yeah. And based on what you're saying now, as long as you stay, you know, limber, I guess, for lack of a better word, you know, the aches and pains will eventually go away. Is that it? Or
Well, walking. That's exactly what I found. You know, a body in motion stays in motion. A body at rest stays at rest. And I really I honestly didn't think I would ever be without back pain. You know, my family knows. I just lived with this horrible back pain, debilitating. That was like, you know, another part of my personality. Here comes Gina and her pain, you know. And when I started exercising, getting back into it, the muscles that surround the injured area start to get healthy and get strong. And your body can transform. Your body does. It can transform. You can exercise your muscles. You can strengthen, elongate, and strengthen your muscles. And it is your muscles and your tissues. You can. You watch those shows, The Biggest Losers, My 600-Pound Life. These are real people.
Right.
It really can happen. You know, so for, and I know probably, you know, you can't dance at the level that you know, we used to when we were younger, but you can get very, very mobile, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I do have knee problems. And I can't, that's one thing I cannot do is Zumba, because that's like for my knees. Fast motion, side to side. Zumba's a lot of fast side to side, you know, a lot of salt, like, you know, Latin dancing. And so it's lovely, but I personally can't do that. But that's the one thing that I find hurts my knees and makes them start swell. But that's, again, I have a torn meniscus in both knees. However, I can do everything else, you know, and I don't do any, you know, jumping and thumping and stuff like that. But, you know, you can definitely transform your...
Now, how can people who are going to be visiting Bermuda, like a lot of people do, and they want to take a dance class or a class in movement or something like that, and you know Now, how can they get in touch with you there? Dancercise. How can they get in touch with Dancercise?
Yeah,
just
Dancer.
Look you up.
They can go on. They can follow me. My fitness journey. Actually, I started my fitness journey, which is my blog, on Facebook, and it's Gina Payne Scott, My Fitness Journey. So you'll see all of my pictures from back in September, different exercises and different things that I'm doing. And through that, I post everything about my Dancercise. My Dancercise classes are Tuesdays and Wednesdays here at a club called Vasco da Gama. A really nice facility, centrally located, air conditioned, all that stuff, and it's to music. And then also my email, it's GinaDancerSize@yahoo.com. GinaDancerSize@yahoo.com. Yeah, and my fitness journey, that's one thing to look at.
You're spelling Dancercise how?
DancerCise. Gina, G-I-N-A. GinaDancerCise@yahoo.com. That's my email. And then, like I said, my Facebook. So, yeah, it's going pretty good, actually, for not really advertising it that much. I got a lot of word of mouth, which is the big thing in Bermuda, word of mouth, and so it appears to be working. When I got home this afternoon, I got a lot of new emails, a lot of inquiries, and I had about 8 people in class yesterday, and growing from there.
Good, good. And people can always
Hear
you here on Kay Thompson Live, and, you're going to be on again, and you're going to be talking about the Dancercise classes, and your page speaks for itself. You used to be able to wrap your leg almost around your shoulders there. So, and
yeah,
I know
not almost I could. Not almost I could. Yeah.
I didn't want to say that.
Things
anyway.
I'd like to say.
No, we had a lot of fun. You know, Gina was always extremely, limber, and the pictures showed you
flexible.
You slip, so really, really great. But anyway, thanks, kiddo.
Thank you. And
it was a pleasure talking to you, Gina, with all due respect. And my regards to your lovely daughter.
Yes, thank you. Yes, she's helping me in my class also. And we're about to shoot a commercial, actually, for it. And so we're going to have a few dances that we teach people. And, the first part is exercise in the class, stretching and exercise, and then we do a little dance sequence at the end. So I will definitely give Brianna your regards, and she's doing well. She's on the national volleyball team here, so she stays fit as well. So getting fit
all
is the name
best.
Of the game. So, yeah.
I hear that.
I should tell people, too, that we are going to be talking to Jai Henson, and from Clearwater, Florida. And this was one of my students years ago in the Thompson Dance Studio. She wasn't able to do it tonight, but I think, is John coming on next week on a regular day? If not next week, I'll have to check it, put it out online.
Yeah, you guys are going to be continuing your conversation and the art form, talking about the art form aspect of dance next week with Jai and Gina as well.
Right.
And that's what we have next week.
Jai is better known as Jackie Coombs. She was one of the first students that we had at the Thompson Dance Studio. Really fantastic.
Yeah,
also.
I remember.
In Clearwater, Florida, and a few other people all over the continent.
Yeah.
And we have a few seconds.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. My granddaughter's knocking on my door. she calls me Glamma. Glamma, like glamorous.
Wow.
That's funny. But listen, all right, I'm going to let you go. But listen, yeah, keep on talking about exercise. It's the new thing now, that your nutrition, your fitness, and everything. People can get healthy. It's very important to keep moving and keeps our heart rates down, especially as black people with diabetes, heart disease.
Okay, 10 seconds.
All right, talk to you next week.
Okay,
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you, Kay. Yeah.
and Eric.
Thanks a lot. We want to remind everybody not to forget to listen next week, next Wednesday at 8 to 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/KTompsonLive, every Wednesday live, 8 to 9 p.m., or you can listen to the show archive. Thanks a lot.
We'll be back on our way.
Good night, folks.